Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat.
They got great meat.
Dirt and Sprague.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in the second hour of the radio program here. Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 FM. The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. YouTube, youtube.com/105.1. The Fan. So thank you guys for tuning in. Any way you can consume it. If you're still on the old AM dial, that's awesome too. The Odyssey app is great. We appreciate having you in here. We got a lot to get to on a Football Friday because it is Football Friday now from here on out.
Yes, it is.
We have some basketball on the docket.
There is some hoops on the docket.
There might be a EuroLeague happening very, very soon.
Yeah, that's been an interesting kind of under the radar thing the last few days.
And I'm going to get to it here in just a second, but I was upset yesterday by a random this person or that person, a choosing between two.
I think we're pretty solid on the same side of this debate, but I know that other side exists for some reason.
Mike Lefko does the pregame for the Mariners broadcast. He's going to join us today at, what time did I say?
8:15, I believe. 8:15.
It was 8:15 or 8:30.
I thought the text said 8:15, according to my tweet last
8:15.
Night.
8:15. He's going to be on the YouTube.
And they got a win last night. And the dumper hit another home run last night.
Yes, he did. Cole Young, 470 feet.
That was mad. That was a big bomb.
Woo!
That was a big bomb right there.
I love those unis they have.
You like those with the black pants and the
is
blue
the
and yellow jerseys?
City Connect?
That's
is
what
that
they call
what
them, yeah. The City Connect
yeah,
ones.
I like those.
Yeah. I like the jersey. I'm not a fan of the black pants with it.
I like the black pants, actually. Yeah. I think it goes with the background of the Seattle.
Yeah, I like the jersey. The dark blue with the yellow lettering is a sick look.
Suarez got a great ovation, hit one down the line. Got some mammoth home runs by Young and Raleigh. The unfortunate thing is Thornton probably popped his Achilles.
Yeah, it's not good when that happens. But they're feeling optimistic nonetheless. You get Geno back. Everybody's feeling good in Seattle right now.
We'll get back into some football stuff. I want to ask you a college football question to noodle on here. I was listening to some college football content yesterday. Will we have another surprise team, or are we more likely to have a usual suspect? I want you to think about that in the sport of college football.
Okay.
One listener suggesting, Justin says, John Gruden.
Yeah, I mean, John Gruden's definitely a strong candidate for most love of football.
He's in it. He's back. He's in Barstool.
He's in the conversation. He's in the running. I still would put him number two.
How?
Put him number two.
How can you? You cannot separate those two
it's
guys.
I can't. Khakis and gloves at all times. John Gruden doesn't do that. John Gruden spends time in Hooters, okay? Jim Harbaugh ain't going to a Hooters.
Yeah,
he's watching film 24/7.
He's at Hooters.
He's eating grass in
football.
His backyard.
Excuse me, lady. Can you come here?
What do you think of Spider 2 Y Banana?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what John Gruden's doing.
I do love me some John Gruden.
So yesterday, I got brought to my attention something Blazer-related. And I saw this, one of these Blazer fans on Twitter that's, you know, fairly popular, I think, in the fan community, basically just threw out there, knowing what they were doing, is that they're throwing a steak, a raw steak, to the Lion's Den. So, CJ McCollum, better Blazer all time than Brandon Roy, huh? And I went,
Excuse me, hold on. Yeah, what?
And I went and scrolled, and I saw the reaction. It was largely like, brother, no.
No.
And then Casey Holdall, a friend of this program.
Casey Holdall jumped in off the top rope of this debate.
Threw his briefcase right in the middle of the ring.
He said, I'm going for that debate.
And he said, CJ, not close. CJ won a game seven.
He said, CJ, game seven on the road in Denver is a moment that Roy never had.
Brandon Roy never won a playoff series.
He's not wrong.
CJ McCall. And it was like, it wasn't just that he chose CJ. Okay, I won't agree with you just on that by itself.
Sure.
It was the manner in which he said CJ.
Right.
It was just like, not even a contest. And this is where I will say, Casey Holdall is a smarter man than I.
Yeah, we love Casey.
Love Casey. The briefcase, what him and Brooke do on the Blazer balcony, does a great job. He's a good friend of this program. I was fundamentally charged up, and I had...
Excuse me!
I had to close my social media.
I can't read this stuff anymore.
I had to delete... I had a text written to him. I wrote it out, and I read it, and I went, yeah. And then I deleted it, and I never sent it. It threw me through a loop, man.
Look, if you want to simply argue a moment in the postseason, sure, CJ has game seven on the road at Denver that put Portland in their only conference finals in the last quarter century, and he was a primary reason that they won that game.
Can I give you a counter take?
Sure, go ahead.
Winning game seven in a playoff series, monumental.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
What was bigger for Blazer fans?
Stepping out of bounds.
Well,
for me it was.
Sometimes how you start isn't how you end, and how you end ends up being the lasting memory more so.
Sure.
Now, I'm not taking Game 7 away. I'm just saying, like, his more recent playoff moment for the Blazers was the stepping out of bounds, scoring like eight points in Dame Lillard's marvelous 55-point playoff performance.
One of the best playoff games we've ever seen in NBA history.
But as great as Game 7 felt... Is it bigger than Brandon Roy's 24-point Dallas Maverick? We kind of know this is probably it. So the emotions of what that moment meant, you know what I mean?
Sure. It's not even close in my mind.
They ended up losing that series.
They absolutely did, and Roy never won a playoff series, and I understand all of that.
Won the series.
No, I know. I know. I get the arguments. I understand it. Game 7 you want to point to. When you look at career totals, right, it's not even close who has the better career numbers in a Blazer uniform because Roy was such a short-term run.
Well, I was going to say, that's, yeah.
Like,
that's
it's just, so if that's what you want to compare with and say, well, he's a better Blazer because he scored more points, rebounds, minutes, all that, like, okay, that's fine. I fundamentally disagree with all of that. CJ McCollum was never the best player on the team. The moment in the second round happened because in the first round, Damian Lillard did the wave to Oklahoma City and helped him win that series and was unbelievable that entire run. So I'm not going to overlook that as well. And he also had a ton of shortcomings, including stepping out of bounds and one of the best postseason performances we've ever seen. And so for me, yes, you had the high of a game seven and the great shots that you hit and the playmaking that you had that Blazer fans will never forget. But also, to me, it's almost washed out by one of the biggest mental blunders and no-shows of a playoff game of that magnitude that felt like it should have been the end of an era, but then we decided to keep Neil O'Shea and just fire Terry Stotts. But I digress. Thank God we got a new owner coming in. Brandon Roy was the better player. Like, there's not even a debate in my mind that Brandon Roy was the better player.
That's not the better Blazer.
He was the better Blazer, and he was the better player. Hmm. When he was at his peak in a Blazer uniform, he was the better player, and he was always a more beloved, impactful guy in the community and for the fan base than CJ McCollum ever was.
Yeah, and I think the accomplishment and longevity of one is fine to acknowledge. I think, but recognizing the feeling that one brings to...
This is the Lillard conversation. Lillard's not the best player in the history of the Blazers. He might not even be top two or three.
Hasn't even accomplished the most things for the Blazers on a team perspective.
Clyde and Bill Walton were better basketball players than Damian Lillard. Nobody disagrees with that.
Yeah, why? So, like,
but it's the feeling of Damian Lillard and what he means for our city and the impact that he's had on our community. That's why Damian Lillard, for a lot of people, is the greatest Blazer of all time.
I'm just spitballing. I'm guessing on this. I could have asked him this because his take. Maybe his opinion on the best Blazer of all time would be, well, Clyde got to two finals and Bill won one. So, like, Maybe his answer would be one of those
two. The same. He's accomplished more in a Blazer uniform.
Maybe he would keep that in that conversation in that regard. But it was funny to read the comments to not only him, but like just the comments to the initial one. Because I don't know where it came from or why.
Just out of left field.
Just like maybe somebody super bored on a Thursday.
Let's throw a little grenade out there on social media and watch everybody react to it. And we're doing it right now. And I definitely read these yesterday, and I had the same reaction. I'm like, no, 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 it's not. I wanted to jump in and start tweeting people, calling them idiots.
Now, look, it's not even like remotely a conversation for me. I won't even think about it. It's one answer.
I actually might be upset if they ever retired CJ McCollum's number. Can I be honest with you?
Oh, we've talked about this.
Like, if they do that,
they're going to. I've told you they're going to, and you got upset by that.
Yeah.
But they are going to, no matter what you think or feel. It's going to happen. I saw one response. It was like, why would you do this to me today?
I love them both.
Yeah,
man.
There's people that love both.
Yeah, and I was never in that camp. CJ seemed like a good dude. That's fine. I always will hold against him, and this is unfair to CJ. I will always hold against him the fact that he was never traded, and he should have been traded. And the fact that we had to deal with the Dame CJ backcourt year in and year out, and Neil O'Shea saying, you know, these guys could be the next Stephen Clay. They're the second best backcourt in the NBA. How many teams would trade their backcourt for? It's like, well, they didn't play much defense. They're both undersized. They both want to have the ball in their hands. We needed a Jrue Holiday, who we finally got 7 years too late. I'll always hold that against CJ McCollum.
CJ and Anthony Simons kind of suffer from the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, they should have been traded guys.
Should have been traded guys. Not a number one. Never were going to be a number one.
Never.
Not a number two in most rational minds.
Yep.
And yet the organization tried to put them in a position. Like, we tried to pretend the last 2 years that Anthony Simons can play his way into being a number one in the NBA. He's your, like, primary ball handler and primary scorer on a winning team. That's never going to happen.
Yeah.
He's a number three guy. Maybe he's a bench guy. And Anthony Simons is a good player. He's a good scorer. Nobody disagrees with that. We were just asking him to be something that he cannot be. And that was the same as CJ. He was never going to be a number two on a contending team.
No.
Ever.
Never.
And that's what we asked him to do for essentially a decade alongside Damian Lillard. So, again, to be fair to him, we put him in a position kind of to succeed. And I'm more upset at the organization than I am him. But I don't know. You and I are kind of in lockstep with this. I just never had the emotional tie.
I never felt it
with
for
CJ
him.
The way that I have other Blazers in my.
Because I always felt like it was a logjam. Now they got to a West Finals to their credit.
They
like,
did, man. Yeah,
they beat the Clippers, and I'd still argue they kind of, in a weird way, like their playoff journey to the West Finals was a little deceiving. That wasn't the journey they had chose. It was kind of forced on them by a young Anthony Simons.
Yes, without that game, they don't go to the conference finals. They get swept in the second round.
That Clippers series may have ended up being maybe the worst possible thing, because remember, that was the first year post-LaMarcus.
They had torn it all down to the studs.
They shocked the world with that group playing as well as they did. They get to the playoffs against the Clippers. Clippers suffer massive injuries, including, I think, Chris Paul breaking his hand during game one or two.
Yep.
And that was it. They advanced to the second round, and that's like Neil Olshey sits there and goes, this is it. I know. I solved it.
We're printing money now. Everybody's buying tickets. I'm not touching this thing.
Versus if they lose in five, it's like, oh, okay, well, that was a fun season, but I need to make bigger moves or change something different here.
Yeah, it should have happened after the New Orleans series, but I digress.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. I can't really put my thumb on it. I just never felt the connection to him as a player. The way that Brandon Roy, he just brought us back. We were in the depths of hell as a basketball fan base and city, and his electricity,
the moments that he had, it was short-lived, but the moments that he had,
they were just bigger.
There are moments as a fan that I'll never forget. The Phoenix game winner, the Houston game winner, the comeback against Dallas in the playoffs. Like, there's just moments from his career that I will always vividly remember. And outside of CJ's game 7, there's nothing else. And I know, I'm not saying he didn't have other moments.
He had 55. He had a great game. Until three quarters.
And they sat him down against the Bulls, and everybody got upset because he should have gone for 60. Like,
there's
small ones there, but they will never resonate to me the way that I remember where I was listening to Wheels call the comeback against Dallas, driving up from Eugene, and being pissed that I couldn't watch the game because we were stuck in traffic. Like, I vividly remember that.
That's the loudest I had ever been in that arena.
Yeah.
Which one?
The Dallas comeback? Yeah, because it just kept building.
It's a day game, and they couldn't hit
he
water. They fell out of a boat. He was done.
He was done, and then he couldn't miss in the second half.
I think the other part, too, I would add to this is I remember exactly where I was on the Houston game winner, watching that game. I was in my apartment in college.
Yeah.
And I remember just going like, Yao hits the shot, and you're like, well, that's over.
This is stupid.
And he heaves it, and he hits it, and it's crazy. I think TNT game. I remember that moment because four other people ran out of the apartment, like kind of like celebrating the way that me and my roommate did.
Mm.
And like, I'm not saying that never happened with CJ. Did that ever happen for CJ in a regular season game? I can't speak to 100% confidence that it didn't. But I don't know if it did, and I remember the Roy. So your point, like those little
moments along the way,
along the way, yeah.
And Game Seven on Mother's Day, Game Seven, the what was it, an elbow jumper that he hit to kind of ice the game. Like I get it, that was a massive moment. It's the only time they've been in the conference finals in my adult lifetime, even though they got swept and weren't really competitive. But yeah, it just to me too. The other hard part is that when Roy was healthy and early in his career, there was never a debate about this could be a guy that could lead your franchise. Like, he was that good of a player. And CJ, to me, was never quite that guy. To me, CJ, and I'm not comparing them as players because LaMarcus was certainly better, but CJ and LaMarcus have a little bit of that same vibe. And it overlaps. LaMarcus does.
LaMarcus got a chance, though, to lead
one. He got a chance to lead one. And then Lillard came in, though, and what did Lillard immediately become? We were immediately more connected to Lillard after 1 year in the NBA. Well, and LaMarcus was an all-star.
Okay, certainly he won the series, and we're against it, but, like, Lillard won that Rocket series with the shot.
Yes, but LaMarcus' first two games are two of the best we've ever seen.
And I think if LaMarcus doesn't leave, we're as connected to LaMarcus as almost we are to Dame.
I agree with you there, so if he would have stuck around longer, because he was a better player, because he was a bona fide all-star, one of the best power forwards in the NBA.
And it was a perfect fitting of, like, complimentary, you're
big
this,
and little.
I'm that, versus, like, Dame and CJ had obviously some success, but it was like, hey, man, I just dribbled and shot and scored. Now you dribble, shoot, and score. Like, it was the same thing in a different way, right? Slightly different players, obviously. But, yeah, I think that's fair to say. Like, he had a little bit of that for him because he was the CJ of the Roy, but...
They were a little bit of the Robin. Not in terms of play with Aldridge early in his career with Lillard, but just in terms of the love of the fan base and the support of the fan base. That it just never... Roy and Lillard always resonated more than CJ and Aldridge did. I do agree with your point. If Aldridge had stuck around, that would be totally different because he was such a good player that it eventually would have gotten there and he would have been one of the all-time greats in franchise history. But it just never quite resonated the same way.
Random Blazer said, segment, I know, but it sparked an emotion in me yesterday.
CJ better than Roy.
Pull questions up. Who's the better Blazer for you all time, Brandon Roy or CJ McCollum?
Sure, the comments on that one will be nice.
Some people are going to go, oh, clearly an August 1st social media post here. I'm like, yeah, but I still was like thinking about it yesterday. I'm like, why? Why is anybody voting for the other one? But
rope me in, man.
Some people will. You can vote at Dirt and Sprague. Let's get to this. Are we going to have the new fun, shiny thing, or will it be business as usual in college football? Explain what I mean next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, Dick Burns, 3 All-Star appearances, multiple NBA teams. Come on, bro.
Yeah, I mean, he was the better player. He didn't have as long of a career. There's no question he was the better player.
Matt, this is the worst poll you've ever done.
Dude, I went and voted on it. I think I was the 26th vote early on, and it was when I casted the 26th vote, it was 100 to nothing.
I'll be stunned if it isn't 99 or 100.
That's why
as a final poll.
Yeah, I think that's why this was shocking for us yesterday. I didn't even know this was a debate. I didn't even know Blazer fans went there mentally.
They really do.
But people were on social media yesterday, and I'm sure there will be CJ McCollum votes. That was the easiest slam dunk question I've ever had to answer.
We'll get to some platypus. We got a platypus at the bottom of the hour we need to get to. Check in Corvallis and Eugene.
No, we boycott. I'm not talking Beavs anymore on the show. We're boycotting. Never going to mention them again. They don't exist to me.
Okay. I will be alone then.
According to listeners yesterday. We know we were canceled coverage of Oregon State on our show, man.
Lord. Are you really reacting to one listener?
I love it.
Some
dude.
Psychotic
one listener nerd out there.
Yeah, Beaver fans saying we canceled coverage on Oregon State on our show. I love calling them out.
You'll
yesterday.
Thank you brought later. That up that on the air. You had enough Oregon State support to be like, dude, this guy's Looney Tunes, man.
I loved it yesterday.
We'll get to some platypus audio. So I was listening to some college football stuff yesterday. In between, of course, listening to 105.1 FM, The Fan.
That's right.
As I do every day. We'll watch on YouTube. And something kind of struck me. There was a conversation going on of, like, the sleeper teams in college football. And some of them were teams that you've heard be hyped. Missouri, right, is one of these. Georgia Tech might be one of these. I was wondering, and I wanted to ask you, because college football is back in our lives now on a daily basis. Do you think this season we're more likely to get an Indiana, Arizona State, SMU surprise, or are we more likely to be reintroduced to the old guard in the playoff conversation? When it comes to the 12 teams, we talk many times about how wide open the sport feels right now, how it could be this team or that team, and how many teams can win the title. It seems to be a lot of them. Are we more likely, if we're to use those three as an example of, like, holy crap, SMU, Indiana, and Arizona State were in the playoff.
Pretty wild stuff.
Are we more likely to say LSU, Miami, fill in the blank, big program.
Blue blood, if you will.
Blue blood team.
Yeah.
Or are we going to get TCU, Georgia Tech?
Illinois.
Are we going to get 3 more surprises this year? Or you think we're more likely to go back and have a little bit more of the old guard in the conversation of the playoff?
I think because of two different first off, there's two different conversations here, right? There's the playoff conversation, and then there's the national championship conversation. I think you will have, it's my opinion that I think every single year with the way the sport is structured right now, you're going to have surprises every year in the playoff. There's 12 spots available. You have a committee that's voting on who knows what criteria to decide who makes it in. You have players transferring, new coaches going elsewhere. The balance of power, I think, from the second tier of the sport is incredibly even. And you have these mega conferences where teams are going to get the kiss of the conference scheduling gods every once in a while and get the benefit and be able to ride that wave of momentum into the playoffs. I think that's totally different than talking about a national title contender, right? Like, Indiana, to me, was never a national title contender. Arizona State was never a national title contender. They could win a playoff game, maybe. But in order to win a national championship now, it's never been harder. you might have to go on the road or play a home game against a quality opponent and then go to a neutral site and then another neutral site. Like, the road is tougher than it's ever been, and you got to beat elite team after elite team. And I don't see one of these sleeper teams ever going on that level of a run because it just takes so much talent and so much depth to do it. But I think we're going to have surprises every single year. Like, if I, even if I look at a power conference, I'll throw the SEC at you, man.
Yeah.
And maybe this isn't a surprise to some. I think A&M's a team that should be talked about more. I think A&M stockpiled talent the last 3 years. I think they're loaded on both sides of the ball. I think if they get a halfway decent year from Marcel Reed.
Can he throw the football?
With, give me throws every now and then, okay? But go look at A&M's schedule, right? Like, some of these teams get the benefit. They do have to play Notre Dame on the road and non-conference, so that's challenging. Their conference schedule outside of Texas on the road late in the season is incredibly manageable, man. There's no Alabama. There's no Georgia. They got to go one road game to LSU, but you get Florida and South Carolina at home. Like, these are the scheduling breaks that teams will get. I think Oklahoma would be a sleeper team for a lot of folks, and I wouldn't be surprised if they made a run
but
to a college football playoff.
I hear what you're saying. I think in some regards you're right of, like, Oklahoma taking a leap from what they were last year. Were they 3-9 last year in the regular season?
I don't think it was that bad, but they were. I think they were 6-6.
6-6, yeah, thank you. They were in that bowl game.
Yeah.
So 6-6 Oklahoma going to the playoff. That's, like, certainly a big leap, especially now that they're in the SEC. But in a way, it also is kind of my point. That's an old guard team.
Yeah, I mean,
so
it,
like,
is an old guard team,
Oklahoma jumping up. Alabama didn't make the playoff last
year. They did not.
They could jump up. Those are old guard teams. Like, those aren't, they're not SMU. Like, nobody had really SMU doing quite what, or in, nobody talked about
nobody
Indiana.
Had Indiana.
I mean, what were they preseason doing last year? 10th?
They were, yeah.
14th?
I mean, near last in the conference.
Like, they were at the bottom. And so, like, yeah, the schedule lined up for them. I always found that conversation funny because zero people picked them to be good. Mm-hmm. But then when they were good, it's like, well, their schedule sucks. Like, well, you didn't even think they were good. So I'm more asking just, the Big 12 is probably going to produce most likely the team that I'm talking about of, like,
the Big 12 will do it every
what?
Year.
What? Like, because you look at Big 12, you
there's
could
10 teams in there that can win the conference.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, with 12 spots available, yes. I do think I'd
like a Rutgers. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm talking about the random, who the hell saw that coming? We had it last year. Arizona State was preseason last. SMU was highly regarded, but I don't know how many people really thought they'd do what they did. And Indiana didn't get any love in the preseason. That's two and a half surprise teams.
Sure.
To your point, we might be there where that's normal, but, like, you're still kind of naming old guard teams.
Sure, I don't know if it's always going to be a new name every single year. That I don't know, but I do think you're going to shuffle it up every year.
Georgia Tech making the playoff would be exactly what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Georgia Tech making the playoff, although they had a good, I mean, yeah. I mean, they had a good year last year.
But they're not a team we largely put in this conversation
No, they're not, but I think they won 8 or 9 games and they're returning a ton of their talent. They beat Miami.
Brent Keys.
They got a good thing going down in Atlanta right now, and so I see the point about the old guard versus the new. That I can't answer. Like, will there be a Pitt making the playoff out of the ACC? Who the hell knows?
Would you gamble on that?
No, no, I wouldn't gamble on that. But I do think the teams that make it every, I think that we're going to have a similar NFL playoff style shuffling of cards.
Yes.
Every year,
X
where there's
of teams
half
in.
Of the teams
yes.
new, half the teams are old.
Tend to agree with that.
You know, you're going to lose Alabama not making it 1 year and then a different old guard team making it. So I think that will be great for the playoff because the balance of power is there at the top. But in terms of the coming out of nowhere, I do think Indiana taught us a lesson, though, and that is to pay closer attention to teams, who they've brought in the offseason, and who they are playing in their conference schedule.
Yeah.
Because Indiana absolutely got the kiss of the schedule gods last year, which everybody will at some point. That's the way it breaks. Sometimes it goes for you, sometimes it goes against you in these mega conferences. But we didn't talk about Indiana because nobody cared about Indiana going into the year, and it's something that we should look at. If you think there's a chance for a team to be a dark horse or you like some of their offseason moves, go look at their schedule, see who they play. Do they go on the road to anybody challenging? Are all their tough games at home? Do they play the teams that you think will finish in the top 3 or 4 in the conference? Because if the answer to a lot of those questions are no, they got a good chance of being a dark horse candidate.
All right, let's pivot out. We'll stay in college football. What we'll go on from the surprise teams, the teams that might be on the radar that nobody's giving enough love to our local teams. Let's do a platypus segment. So we'll go down to Corvallis, we'll go down to Eugene, and we'll do it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We had a Major League Baseball player traded from his team in the middle of a game yesterday to the team they were playing, and he was hugging his teammates. I wanted to see him just unbutton his jersey and then walk across to the other dugout.
How great would that be if you could actually do that?
Yeah.
And at bat from one team at the start of the game, and then you come in the eighth inning as a pinch hitter for the other team.
Well, that happened earlier in the Blue Jays and Orioles played a doubleheader.
I heard this from Luke. He basically was telling me that this happened
in between the game.
It was a day-night doubleheader, so he played the first game for the Orioles, and then played with the Blue Jays in the second game.
That's awesome.
Update very quickly on a segment we did to start the show. If you missed the very beginning of the show, a fun stat. There are more people under contract on this radio station, on this show, for next year than there are Minnesota Twins for next year. Fire sale. Follow-up to this, they're basically working to sell the franchise.
It's come
out that they're putting their ducks in the row to sell the team off, only shares that this reminds them of the 93 Padres fire sale.
Does A-Rod have more money? See, he already bought the Timberwolves.
I don't think he has the money to buy a baseball team.
No,
I think he's spent.
He's a minority owner.
Yeah.
He is a name on the list. He's a Magic Johnson, if you will.
So we'll get to some more baseball stuff a little bit later on, maybe some more NFL dealings and college football as well. But we want to do a platypus segment here because we've got audio from both Corvallis and Eugene. And we've got them from coordinators to just from opposite sides of the football. And that is Ryan Gunderson, the offensive coordinator for Oregon State, and Taj Lepoy, the defensive coordinator for Andy's Oregon Ducks.
Yes.
So we're going to kind of go back and forth here. The interesting thing you said this week that I still stuck with me is I'm still surprised that earlier this week you said you're more concerned, weary, or have your eyes on Lepoy and the defense than Stein in the offense because of how the season ended for Oregon.
Defensively, it was not good in the last two games.
What was the halftime score of Ohio State?
34-7, I think.
Seven.
Yeah.
So, like,
well, I mean, the offense wasn't great in that game either, but so what was the score of the Big Ten title game?
Oh, I mean, they gave up a lot of points and yards. It was interesting. I didn't expect you to say that. And so, Taj Lepoy coming in after not ending the season on the highest of highs. Here is Taj Lepoy talking about the secondary for Oregon this year.
Having, five absolutely amazing, DBs last season that played their butt off, and the tallest guy being 5'10 and a quarter, and can't respect more that, what they did for us. But certainly our system, you know, is built around guys with length and, of course, speed, and then short area quickness and a physical tackler. Well, that's what we're looking for. We get all that, then, you know, we get guys like Christian Gonzalez, you know, that can play at a really high level. So it's not necessarily doing a whole bunch of new stuff, but, you know, what we could do better probably caters to us, and maybe getting away from a little bit of, you know, smoke and mirrors to possibly hide some matchup issues, you know, and things of that nature when we do lack some length and speed.
So what do you make of the secondary for Oregon right now, and where do you think it's going to be?
I think it's one of the most exciting position groups that they have. I think this is a unique thing about their roster building the last couple of years, is that it takes time to get there, obviously, because you got to recruit, and you got to develop, and you got to find the guys that you want. There seems to be a vibe down there where they now have the type of player and the size of player that they want to fully execute their system. Like Jabbar Muhammad was an awesome corner, man. Mm-hmm. He was great at Oklahoma State. He was great at Washington. He had a good year at Oregon. He also was just restricted on how elite he could be because he was tiny. He was like 5'9". He's my height. And that's challenging when you go up against a big-bodied wide receiver. There's just only so much you could do. And I feel bad for him. As a short king, I wish he was 2 inches taller because he might have been a second-round pick in the draft. But when you're that height, you're just limited. So now they have gone about the last 2-3 years. This is if you follow recruiting, you know, like, a lot of their guys in the secondary are 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". They have safeties and DBs that are now 6'3", 6'4". And that just gives you a different, a total different playing field in what you can call, what you can do, how aggressive you can be, the islands you leave them on. And so when you look up and down, like Sione Laulala, Kingston Lopa came on at the end of the year, Dalen Austin, 6'1". Like, you go up and down the list. Julio Florence will be back this year, 6'1". He didn't play at all last year. Played a ton as a true freshman 2 years ago.
Yeah, Lanning said 2 days ago, Florence has been, like, he's worked himself back in pretty amazingly.
Devastating injuries last year, and he played a ton as a true freshman, and so he's back for another year now. So it just, there's a lot of size and length in that secondary to the level that they've never had before, and that's really exciting.
Here is Ryan Gunderson of Oregon State. Last year, Oregon State's offense did not pop. Not a lot of great plays. Not a lot of great moments. They lacked explosives, right? Here is Ryan Gunderson on trying to address that problem with this year's group.
Yeah, we need to create explosives. It's better to score in 2 plays than 13 plays. We had a lot of 13-play drives. The longer you have the ball, the longer you possess it, the more chances you have for some type of negative play, whether it be a fumble, you know, an interception. We hope those things don't happen. A penalty, just anything that can be negative towards an offense, the longer you're out there, the higher the chances that that happens. So we need to be more explosive. I think our receivers have gotten better than they were last year. I think we are better throwers than we were last year. So am I optimistic about that? Yes. I think everywhere in the offense, talent-wise and understanding of what we're doing, we're better. So I think we can get that going.
His theme and takeaway, at least my interpretation, is the tempo of the offense. He really wants them to do, like, some really quick stuff. It's not that he's – I mean, he's a football coach. He obviously knows way more than I ever will. A little surprising to hear a coach just say out loud, like, yeah, long drives. I'm not a fan. And I'm always like, when my team has a long drive and they score, I'm always like, yeah, way to dominate.
It's just playing the odds at that point. If you run 15 plays, what are the chances one of them's a fumble or there's a false start or a hold or a block in the back and it derails everything you're doing?
I don't really think about that, I guess, a lot during games when I watch it. But that was a kind of like, okay, I guess I see what you're saying.
It's the theory of the longer you're out there, the higher the chances are that something could go wrong here.
They desperately need this, though. They need explosives.
You had no balance offensively. And when you have no balance offensively, it's very hard to create explosive plays because essentially the only way they could do them last year was in the run game. And when you defended Oregon State, what did you gear up to stop? The run game, because it was the only thing that they could do. And so having just a above average passing attack with Malik Murphy, which I think that they will have this year, that will at least open things up where you can't just play one, you know, part of the offense defensively in your game playing against them. That'll make things a lot easier for them.
Got a little more platypus audio we'll get to on the other side. We got a lot to get to in the 8 a.m. hour as well, including our interview with Mike Lefko, who does the Mariner pregame broadcast. He's going to join us on YouTube, and we'll talk about his thoughts on the trade deadline for the Mariners. They won last night. They blanked the Rangers. They're in a playoff race with the Rangers. So we'll talk with Mike Lefko coming up at 8:15. Dirt and Sprague, we are back with more platypus conversation on 105.1 FM, The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Just talking with Luke Anderson of the Happy Hour, and he's showing me a photo of the guy who got traded from the Orioles to the Blue Jays, and they had to rush and make the jersey for the guy because he ended up pitching in the game. His number 8 is upside down.
They had to make it quickly, man. They didn't have enough time to put that thing on the right way.
We haven't gotten to any NFL. Scary Terry McLaurin is asking for a trade, and it reminded me as a Niner fan of two former players, one of which is now his teammate.
Yeah.
And how these things don't usually end in trades, but we have some audio of, like, he might be asking for a bit much.
There's a crack in the relationship, though, when it happens. I think when you get to that point, like the Debo one, he didn't have a lot of negative things to say, but it never fully recovered, I would argue. And I don't think Ayuk and the Niners are in a great standing right now either.
So we'll get to that. There's also this, Diana Rossini. Micah Parsons considering requesting a trade himself or, and this one's interesting, declaring that he is, quote, severing his relationship with the team. Which seems more extreme than requesting a trade while at camp.
Is he going to play but not have a relationship? Does that mean he's not playing for them anymore? Is that a holdout? That's interesting language.
No idea.
You sever the relationship. Has a right to be pissed off. Just pay him.
Pull questions up about the CJ Dame or CJ and Roy random poll question today. Scott says, B-Roy unquestionably better basketball player. Never won a playoff series. CJ single-handedly won game 7 on the road. Yeah. Roy is better. I'd trade his entire time in Portland for that one game 7 for CJ. So the game 7 in the playoffs means a lot.
Yeah, maybe it's because of the way the conference finals went. I'm not gonna lie that wasn't a fun run and we didn't get all roped in and the Rodney Hood hitting turnaround jumpers in the 4 overtime game. Like, that was a really fun series. But the way that they lost in the conference finals doesn't lessen it a hair. I got swept.
Second round.
Golden State
game.
Didn't even have anybody healthy. They didn't even win a game in the conference finals.
Let's get to the platypus audio before we get to the 8 a.m. hour. Here is Taj Lepoy. Elijah Rushing.
Dude, big fan of Elijah Rushing.
Big fan.
That guy, when I saw him on the sideline, he didn't look human.
Here is Taj Lepoy on Elijah Rushing.
Guy absolutely is going to challenge everybody in the building to... you know, put in the time and work the hardest when it comes to attention to detail, coming in extra bonus meetings, asking questions, staying later. You know, it's important to him. He loves the game, you know, so that's what his approach is, you know. So that's adding on to the guy. I think, you know, I was confident once again to the evaluation standpoint as far as this guy was going to be a developmental player, you know, evaluating him, but a future star. You know, as he puts all these things together and he starts to learn how to direct his length, you know, learning how to rush the passer from a technique standpoint, and the things that, you know, he's starting to show now. So excited.
I know it's a cliche question to ask, but I am genuinely curious to see him, given how you've described him physically, the expectation of Elijah Rushing.
Pretty high, man. Pretty high going into the year. He's a guy that when I first saw him, I think I've said this before. I've been on the sideline of Oregon games for, you know, going back to probably 2009-ish.
Humble brag.
I think this is the exciting thing about when you watch it get built and you see kind of some of the guys who don't play every weekend because you don't get a chance to ever go to watch practice. They're bigger and stronger than they've ever been. And guys like Elijah Rushing stand out, man. He came in, 5-star recruit, edge rusher.
6'6", 260.
Just massive, right?
Probably bigger than that.
You saw him immediately and you're like, oh my God, if he just puts on a little bit of weight, holy hell. Like, this is like Deion Jordan was a skinny edge rusher. This is bigger and stronger than Deion Jordan was at the end of his career. That's the way he looked as a true freshman last year. And in the offseason, I think they said he added 30 pounds of muscle. And that he is absolutely going to be a key rotational guy. That's just a pass rushing specialist that you can bring in behind Mateo, behind Tatum Tuioti, behind Blake Purchase. Like, you got bodies up front already. You don't need him to play every down, but he's going to be a redshirt freshman that I absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt. We're going to know that name by like week 7 or 8.
Kayvon type season. 9 sacks. Kayvon had his first year of playing, and I know it's a little different with the redshirt.
Because he redshirted last year,
Right.
I would not be surprised if he had that level of impact. I genuinely wouldn't. If he could put it all together, I know Tosh is talking about some of the technical stuff and where his hand's going, how you get off the ball. A lot of stuff that he's got to learn and develop, but his whole thing coming in was putting on weight and muscle, and he's done that in 1 year.
Here's Ryan Gunderson. It's a platypus segment here. Corvallis and Eugene, Taj Lepoy, Ryan Gunderson, the D coordinator at Oregon, O coordinator at Oregon State. Ryan Gunderson on his new quarterback room. And an addition to the staff.
I really like the room. You got different types of guys. Obviously, some experience with Malik, big body that can really throw it around. I think the other three guys have athletic ability that is fun. I think we're going to need everybody that can help us on offense this season. But I think the
the intelligence in the room is much higher than it was last year, just in the system, the trust in the system. I'm really happy with where we are, and you know, adding, not just adding a couple players here and there, but also adding Langs back into the picture is a huge help for me. You know, he can kind of get a feel for some guys, how they learn. I don't know if he got that. Let's try it another way. He's just really helpful for me to have another set of eyes and another kind of opinion on things through the quarterback lens.
So Danny Langsdorf, who we mentioned there, if you didn't know who Langs was, longtime O coordinator for Oregon State under Riley, he is back as a quality control analyst. So he's basically helping Gunderson with the offense. He knows a lot about that. His dad is a scout, or at least was a scout for many years in the NFL. Very smart dude. And you add the quarterback room, and I think he was kind of saying this, and then I think he realized as he was saying it how it could come off, but he's like, yeah, our room sucked last year.
It was terrible last year, and now it's not quite as terrible.
This year, it's better, and he's like, you know, but it's different, and he's like trying to like right. get ahead of it there. But the quarterback room for him, much different this year.
Dude, there's no doubt that it's much different. I also think the Langsdorf piece of it is important, and I think, you know, Bray talked a little bit about this yesterday, too, where I mean, you got to give coaching staffs time, right? Like, Bray's never been a head coach before.
No.
Gunderson, I don't believe, was an offense. I think he was just quarterback coach at UCLA.
I think he was technically an O coordinator, actually.
But Chip called the plays.
Yeah, let me double check
I
that.
I couldn't remember if he had play calling duties or what his official. I knew he was
Chip
quarterback
called
coach.
Plays.
Yeah. So it's just like he's going into his first run as a full time, like, dude, you're in charge of an offense. Go figure it out. And so just having extra hands around. Bray's talked about how helpful it's been for his defense now that he's back calling plays on that side of the ball. Langsdorf being back, helping with his quarterbacks when Gunderson wants to focus on other things. Those are really important.
You were right. Just quarterback coach.
Okay, so he wasn't, yeah. So this is, I mean, you're learning on the job, right? Everybody's trying to figure it out. So I think that helps a ton. They're also, like, in terms of the quarterback room, they keep bringing up the Tristan Tia kid who's a freshman. He's like 6'2", 200 pounds.
He says he's really smart. He's really understanding things.
Working hard. Yeah. He's a great athlete. He can do a lot. And so they have more versatility in
they
that
like
room.
They like Jabari's athleticism.
Love
so
his athleticism.
This year.
He ran a ton last year. And then you add Malik Murphy, who is a significantly more competent passer than anything you had in the room last year. It's starting to come together a little bit more. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot of those guys play.
You and I feels like we're kind of similar in how we feel about these respective sides of the balls on these two teams. Like Oregon State's offense, I'm like, we're gonna be good again. And your questions are on defense, like, was that just a blip, or are you guys going to slip, or are you going to be dominant again? It's interesting to hear both of their thoughts on where those groups are at.
Yeah, right. Need big years for both of those sides of the ball this year for both teams.
Mike Lefko's going to join us at 8:15. The Mariners trade deadline stuff. He'll be on the YouTube page. We'll talk about that. They won last night. It is a loaded third hour. Dirt and Sprague on 105 FM and the Fan Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.